You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. So far, most people optimistic still here on this Call Your Shot Thursday game edition. But we're going to get a perspective on the Cincinnati Bengals now from Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Very well. Jeff, let's start with the injury update on your side of it. Bengals coming to this game a little bit banged up. We'll be without some key pieces. Who will not be able to go for the Bengals this week?
Vontaze Griffin, Leon Hall, Giovanni Bernard, and Andre Smith. And they got a bunch of other guys that are banged up as well.
What does that mean at right tackle? Who steps in at right tackle, and how much of a concern is that from a Cincinnati perspective?
Well, it's a big concern because they'll probably put Kruger on Marshall Newhouse, I would imagine. They put Kruger over him, and Marshall's the guy they signed him in the offseason. He's a guy that has got a lot of experience, got 31 starts up at Green Bay, and before he came here, actually blocked for Andy Dalton at TCU in college. He can play both sides. He's a pretty competent guy. He's played in the league. But, you know, he'll have a big test with Kruger. Kruger's having a great year.
Jeff, you
Paul
talk
Kruger
about
leading the team with Zex. Yes.
Yes, he is. Jeff,
go ahead, Matt.
Just to touch upon Andy Dalton again. Andy Dalton is a guy who's not going to blow you away statistically. And actually, we pointed out on our show that our own Brian Hoyer actually statistically is in front of Andy Dalton. What is the overall feeling? I'm obviously inside the building. They've given him the contract. But what is the feeling about his production on the football field in and around the Cincinnati and for the Bengals fans as well?
You know, people want more. They want to see him have more touchdowns, but he's had a terrific year. I mean, he's got a couple fourth quarter comebacks against Baltimore. Should have had a fourth quarter against Carolina, but the field goal was missed at the end of the game. But he put him in position to win it. You know, the guy's 34-20, 35-21, something like that. He's 14, 15 games over 500. So I think the folks are getting used to his winning ways. And they also like the fact the way he's won these games late. You know, the last couple games he's had a little bit of a hiccup. He's had some of those turnovers where you say, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, really screwy turnovers. He seems to have a tendency to do that, but he's also bounced back and really played well. I think Hugh Jackson's done a nice job with him. And, you know, he's not putting the whole game. Jay Gruden put the whole game on Andy Dalton. Hugh Jackson is running the ball.
Running the ball effectively, Jeremy Hill, the second rounder out of LSU, quite an impressive start in place of Giovanni Bernard last week. What did you see from him, and how big of a factor do you expect him to be tonight against the Browns team that, frankly, got to be honest, has really struggled stopping the run?
Browns fans have seen this before, whether it's Pete Johnson or Corey Dillon or Ricky Woods, it's a big back. You know, it's kind of the Bengals tradition. Going back to Paul Brown, he loved the big backs. Up in Cleveland, that's where it was all born, you know. Frozen fields in November and December. He loved the big backs. That's why he traded Bobby Mitchell for Ernie Davis. And Bengals roots are there, you know. And that's the kind of back Jeremy Hill is. He's 230 pounds, but he runs like a smaller guy. You know, he's got an ability to take it to the house, which you saw in the fourth quarter last week against Jacksonville when he took a 60-yarder in to close it.
Yep.
You know, this series, since they came back into since the Browns came back into existence in '99, this series has been defined by running the ball. The Bengals have had 16 different 100-yard rushers against these guys from five different backs, and it just seems to be a part of the series, part of the mentality. And I would expect that they're gonna run Hill a lot tonight.
Jeff, as I kind of dove in and started studying the Cincinnati Bengals to be able to cover them on a short week, I noticed Andy Dalton, you know, kind of in the gun a lot with Jeremy Hill by his side, running that zone read, you know, being able to, you know, decide whether he keeps the ball, very similar to what people are doing in college, but also to play actioning off of that. Is that something that Hugh Jackson has liked all season, or something that's kind of come on late, missing Bernard and missing A.J. Green?
No, they've been running it all year. In fact, we were surprised that the Bengals defense kind of had trouble adjusting to it with Cam Newton because they've seen it in training camp and they've seen it in the spring. Hugh likes that. I mean, you know, it gives them a lot of different options, and they've worked it pretty well. If you've been watching the tape, you've seen that, you know, there are some times that Andy could have run it more.
Yes, he could
have. Sometimes he's handed it off when maybe he shouldn't have. But, you know, it's been a pretty good, you know, I think it's worked out pretty well. It's kind of given him a little bit more, it's given him a little bit more space to throw.
And throw the ball effectively he has to Mohamed Sanu, who has really stepped up in the absence of A.J. Green. Now Green is back. How close to 100% in your mind is A.J. Green? And what has the emergence of Mohamed Sanu meant for this team? Because he's the guy that concerns me the most. You get that primetime battle with Joe Haden, obviously, and A.J. Green. But on the other side, Mohamed Sanu, Buster Screen might be a pivotal battle to see who wins this game.
Well, Sanu's been playing like a number one receiver. I mean, he's... You know, he had 200-yard games with A.J. out, and he probably made the biggest play of the year in 3rd and 10. Dalton made a hell of a play, too, to get out of the pocket against Baltimore with 3 minutes left, and they hooked up for a 39-yard bomb for the winning touchdown, you know, to get on that winning touchdown drive. So, I mean, he's been huge, and he does it all. I mean, he throws it, he runs it, he lines up anywhere. He can line up in a wildcat. He can line up as a running back. He goes in motion. You know, he's been real valuable. And A.J., you know, I mean, A.J. looked fine. A.J. said after the game that he was going to get, you know, I think he only took 39 out of 68 snaps or so. You know, it took about half of it. But he said tonight he was going to play more.
Jeff, last question from me. Just to get into a former Cleveland Brown, Greg Little, who now takes his claim there in Cincinnati. Not very productive wide receiver on the football field, but of course, this game and rivalry is near and dear to his heart. What's your take on his comments, good, bad, and indifferent, about his time here in Cleveland and making those comments, again, with his lack of production and presence in that locker room, but making those comments almost essentially creating billboard material on a short week for the Cleveland Browns?
You know, I thought that Little was, I thought Pettin, I mean, I can understand where Greg was coming from. I mean, I thought Coach Pettin handled it really well. Maybe the best answer I've ever heard to a controversial statement, where he said, I see where the guy's coming from. He played here, he got cut, and it's personal. It's personal. Hey, I mean, if the radio station there whacks you, you know,
you'll take it personally.
You know?
Sure.
It's not pleasant. And, I don't know. I don't, you know, I mean, I guess they said he wasn't productive. I know he scored a couple touchdowns against the Bengals. He always seemed to catch a key ball. I know he struggled up there with drops. But, you know, I mean, I don't think it kind of went over everybody's head here. And said, I mean, it, I don't think the Bengals were that surprised. And it didn't sound like the Coach Pettin was that surprised either. So, I mean, it seems to be one of those three minute stories. You post it, it's buzz, and then you know how it is in this world. There's something else to move on to in the next 30 minutes.
There's no question that's how it is here, Jeff. All right, as you look at this game, is the perception of in Cincinnati's mind of this Browns team any different? Do they sense that something has changed here as they enter the game 5-3 under Mike Pettin, or is in the mind of the Bengals, is it same old Browns, we're just going to take care of business at home like we always do?
Well, I think these guys have always said, I mean, the Browns beat the Bengals. I mean, Green and Dalton are only 4-2 against the Browns, and it's always been, yep. And they've always been very competitive games, and I know Marvin's got high regard for the people up there putting the team together because they put together a hell of a defense. This offense, whether it was Gruden or Bradkowski or you know, the last 5-6 years, they've had trouble scoring on Cleveland. Except last year, when they put up 41, that was mostly defense and special teams. They didn't get a lot from their offense. So, the Bengals they know exactly what they're going to face tonight. And it's going to be a tight game. And the Browns, while they may give up a lot of yards on the ground, they're good in the red zone, they're good in short yardage, they rush the passer. We've seen all this. Bengals fans have seen all this. It's the only thing that's held Cleveland back has been their offense. And now they got a quarterback who's a terrific leader and proves he can win games and come from behind. So, you know how it is with this guy. You know, we've been doing – and it's always – there's always teams where it doesn't really matter, you know – certainly, I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it never matters what the record is with two division teams.
Of course not.
Especially with teams that are, I mean, it's always, you know, I mean, same old Browns. I mean, from the Bengals' perspective, that means they're going to have a long day at the office trying to score points.
So how do you see this one ultimately playing out, and what are the keys to victory for your Bengals?
I think the key is running. You have to run the ball. The way Cleveland's giving up yardage on the ground, you have to run the ball on them. That's the first thing, because Kruger's going to give you problems. he's gonna get the, he's proven he can get to the passer. Gibson's got six picks, so you know they defend the pass pretty well. And he's got a lot of the wreck stuff, so you don't want to get in third and long against him. So A, you got to run the ball, and B, you know, you have to make Hoyer one dimensional. You know, you can't get into the thing where he's comfortable in third and three, because I know they don't have a lot of their weapons, but they got just enough to hurt you. And you can't let their running game get off the ground because they're, I think their backs are better than they have been.
Yes.
You know, so I think that it's going to get down to the running game, really. And, I think that it's tight. I mean, the Browns play it tight. They play, every game they've played it has been, except when they blow out Pittsburgh, they're in the game. It's funny. They're two similar teams. Both teams hanging around at the end, you know, and they're, they don't make it look easy, you know, and they make it hard on themselves, but they make it hard on the other team, too. So I see this thing coming down to a kick. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be cold. I see this thing, a 23-20 thing. I think the Bengals win it probably at the gun. I think they win it late.
Off of the foot of Mike Nugent, a former Ohio State Buckeye.
It's going to be from the middle of the state, right from Centerville itself. So it's the perfect karma.
Good stuff. Well, we'll see you at the stadium tonight, Jeff. Appreciate the time and
Thank you,
your
Jeff.
Insights on this Bengals team as the Browns and Bengals get ready in the Battle of Ohio in prime time on national TV with big implications for the AFC North going forward. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
Good night, fellas. Have a good time tonight.
All right. We will be back with our second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to kick things off with hearing from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Plus, we want to get your phone calls and tweets, 216-578-0850. Don't forget to call your shot here on this special game day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, coming right back with the head coach of the Browns right after this.